Welcome to Real Talk Christian Podcast, where we drink coffee and have real conversations on faith, culture, and society. This week, we are officially in Holy Week, and today is actually Maundy Thursday. And I went live over in the Facebook group just a little bit ago. So just a reminder, if you're not in the Facebook group, we go live there every once in a while, and we have a lot of fun conversations, so make sure you check that out. But I went live over in the Facebook group just a little bit ago because I had quite a few conversations come my way, or not conversations, but quite a few questions come my way, particularly around Pontius Pilate. Do we know he's a real dude? Does anywhere else in antiquity talk about him? And ultimately, how come the early church, pretty much since forever, have always said that Jesus died and was crucified under Pontius Pilate, even though we read in the scriptures that Pontius Pilate like wiped his hands or washed his hands and said, his blood is not my problem. It's all on you guys and it's on your own head. So why does the church say that he was crucified by Pontius Pilate? And why have we always said that for the last 2,000 years? So as we enter into this time of Resurrection Sunday, I figured it'd be a great opportunity to drop this as a bonus episode for you guys so you also can enjoy the conversation. So, because, you know, guys, it was a whole lot of fun and I didn't want to have you guys miss out. So without further ado, here's the conversation we had over in the Facebook group. There we go. What is up, RTC fam? So we told you guys on the podcast, you never know when we're going to go live. So I'm live right here in the Facebook group, obviously, for you guys could hear. And if we decide to post the audio in the actual podcast audio, we'll see about that as well. So as you bring in different questions or different comments or whatnot, I can see all those here on the screen. So I'd love to hang out with you guys for a little bit. But, you know, I received a couple questions the other day and, you know, mentally, I'm like, I really wanted to make this video earlier in the week and life has happened and there just hasn't been a lot of time. And so I had a couple questions primarily revolving around Pontius Pilate. And so we know Pontius Pilate through the gospel narrative. He is the Roman governor who sentenced Jesus to be killed. But the question always remains of, well, a few different questions. Number one is, did we ever know that Pontius Pilate was ever a real dude? Number two, how come in the Apostles' Creed, well, let's go back. We read in the scripture that Pontius Pilate, you know, he washed his hands and then said what it is what it is and then said he was done with it. But how come in the Apostles' Creed and other creeds we see that he was crucified by Pontius Pilate, even though in the Bible we read that, no, Pontius Pilate washed his hands and said have his way. So how could we say he killed Jesus, but in the Bible, you know, Pontius Pilate says that, what do we do with all those different things? Yo, Jordan, what's up, my dude? So you're on episode 114. Oh, what episode is even 114, dude? I'm going to get sidetracked here for a second. So I'm going to be hanging out with you guys here for probably about the next, 15, 20 minutes or so. We'll see how long I can go. Let's be honest. When I say 15, 20 minutes, I could go for 2 hours if I really wanted to. Because, you know, there's always that question in when you're trying to figure out what you want to do for life or what you're very good at. And they would always say, what's a topic that without prep, you can go on stage and talk for 30 minutes for? And my joke was always, you give me a topic and I'll go for 30 minutes. It's just something that we used to do all the time for fun. So either way, let me pull up this, which, side note, as I'm pulling it up, just so you guys know, we're getting really close to 900,000 downloads as we speak. Jennifer, what is up? Jennifer is one of the OG New Life folks over there who takes care of our kids for, actually, you don't have any of our kids in your Sunday school class right now. They all upgraded up to Miss Amy's class over there in the kindergarten land. I'm going to go to 114, but we're getting close to 1 million downloads, guys. Oh, the Sabbath day, Saturday or Sunday. Oh, that was a good conversation. So anywho, what was I saying? Oh, we're getting close to 1 million downloads. We're at 900,000 downloads, which means probably in the next 6-7 months, we might cross over that $1 million download threshold, which is unstinking real. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. So either way, back to today's conversation. So about Pontius Pilate, especially with it being Holy Week, and as we have our mind set on Holy Week, happy Maundy Thursday for those of you who celebrate. And if you don't know what Maundy Thursday is, today is the day when the disciples were up in the upper room. Jesus said, this is the new covenant, my blood. This is the new, drink this remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And then he washed people's feet. Maundy Thursday has become a very big church history date for a lot of folks, where there is a foot washing ceremony, there is a dinner, a Passover style feast, and then also communion at the end of it. So if your church does celebrate Maundy Thursday, I hope you have a great Maundy Thursday service. And if you don't, you can have a really fun conversation with your pastor and say, so why don't we wash people's feet and have some Maundy Thursday as part of our Holy Week celebration? So just a fun fact with that one. So either way, we're going to jump into Pontius Pilate, because again, I was asked, is Pontius Pilate real? Because it seems like the New Testament is the only place that talks about it. And then should we say and should we pin Jesus's death particularly on Pontius Pilate, because A, it looked like the Jews were the ones who said crucify him, so isn't it the Jews' fault? But then also in the scriptures, we read that Pilate washed his hands of this, basically saying, it's not my problem, it's your problem, have your way with him. So why do things like the Apostles' Creed still bring up the simple fact that Pontius Pilate actually did crucify Jesus? So I'm going to read a couple things real quick. You would think I would have this pulled up, but I don't, because I, you know, just shoot from the hip sometimes. I'm going to pull up the passage of scripture here where we see Pontius Pilate. I believe it's in Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew. We're going to start in 27. Jesus before Pilate. There we go. Switch to the good old CSB. Translation there. Refresh. Jesus is handed over to Pilate in verse 1. When the daybreak came, all the chief priests and all the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. After tying him up, they led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then it talks about Judas hanging himself. Then back to verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, which is Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, you say so. While he probably didn't say it in that tone of voice. Verse 12, while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. So picture the stage, all right? You got the governor who's kind of like in the courtroom sitting at the actual throne, so to speak. And you got all the accusers in there saying that Jesus is claiming this, Jesus is claiming this, Jesus is claiming this, Jesus is claiming this. And Jesus hasn't said a peep. Outside the fact of when he was said, are you king of the Jews? Jesus says, well, you say so. And that just remains silent. Then we read in the scripture, let me finish this up. So then Pilate says to him, don't you hear how much they are testifying against you? But Jesus didn't answer him on even one of the charges. So the governor was quite amazed. And then at the festival, the governor's custom was to release to the crowd a prisoner they wanted. And at that time, there was a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they gathered together, Pilate said to them, who is it that you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew it was because of envy that they want him handed over. So Pontius Pilate knew in his mind that the Jews did not like Jesus and wanted him killed. He committed no crime, both Jewish law and Hebrew law. He committed no actionable crime that would be put him to death. And basically the fact of, yo, all you hate is just hate you, bro. So we know it's a load of crap, so let's try to get you freed. But the question then is, why didn't Pilate just release him? We'll go into that here in just a second. It continues on, for while he was sitting on the judge's bench, his wife, Pilate's wife, sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for today I suffered terribly in a dream because of him. The chief priests and elders, however, persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to execute Jesus, which is honestly unreal, right? It'd kind of be like putting someone in front of everyone who did nothing wrong, and then someone like in America, like a Timothy McVeigh, and say, which one of these people do you want? The guy who bombed Oklahoma City, or this Jesus who just happens to claim to be the Christ? Which one do you want? And everyone's like, give us the bomber. Like, that's ridiculous. It's stupid. But that's where we're at right now in this story. And then you guys know the rest of the story where they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere. He was making no traction, but that a riot was breaking out instead. We'll talk about that here too in a second. So he took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Which is also really fascinating, because just fun fact, crucifixion is not a way that Jews killed folks. In fact, we actually have written record that Jewish people did not crucify folks. The Jewish way for actually sentencing someone to death was not crucifixion, but rather it was stoning. So the fact that Jesus, Pilate, has handed him over and said, do what you will with him, the fact that he was still crucified, Jesus was still crucified, showed that it was a Roman death, not a Jewish death. Let me just keep reading. It says, all the people answered, he has blood on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and then after having Jesus flogged, handed him over to be crucified. So two questions coming out of all of this is, number one, with Pilate saying, which I kind of leaned into this already, took some water, washed his hands, and said, I am innocent in this man's blood. But then when you read the Apostles' Creed, it said he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate actually shows up. Let me see about the Nicene Creed, which, if you don't know a whole lot about the church history creeds, I want you to go back into our episodes and look up creeds. We talk about the different creeds, what they are, why we have them, why they're important to us as Christians as well, and why they were put into place for that. So both the Apostles' Creed, which is historically the oldest creed we have from the early church, mentioned Pontius Pilate. And then so does the Nicene Creed, which was in the 4th century. I think 395 was the Nicene Creed 395? I know you guys don't care. It's more for me. 325. Dang it. I was close. So 325 was not even close. Let's be honest. That's like two generations removed. But the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, who mentioned that as well. So the first question is if Pilate washes hands of this, why do we still say, no, Pilate, you killed him, bro? And then second from there, can we even believe that this was a real dude, or was it just some makeup fairy tales by the disciples in the early church? So I do want to read both these creeds, though, to kind of set the stage of how the church for its entirety has always viewed Pontius Pilate. Now, I do want to say that the Eastern Orthodox Church in like the 5th century actually venerated Pontius Pilate and his wife, which is interesting. In the scriptures, we don't know what Pontius Pilate's wife's name is, but in the Apocrypha, I know they gave her a name there. Pilate's wife's name. See, this is why I love Google, guys. And if you ever see me on the podcast, on my phone, or on my tablet, or my computer, like heads down, looks like I'm just scrolling, whatever, I'm Googling things. So Pontius Pilate's wife's name, she acquired at a later day in Western tradition, and she is known as Claudia Procula? I don't know. But they gave her the name in the Apocrypha, which the Apocrypha wasn't written till centuries after we see the New Testament actually being done. So Jordan says, Passion of the Christ shows that Jesus very much so suffered. Yeah, dude, it's absolutely wild. I'm curious to see what the Chosen's going to do, though, to be honest with you. I'm really curious to see what the Chosen's going to do with Jesus' persecution as well. So the two questions we have is, why does the church... hate's not the right word, but pin Jesus' death on Pilate, not the Jews. And then second, can we believe Pilate's actually a real dude? So in the Apostles' Creed, which is my absolute favorite creed, it goes like this. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended, and a lot of early traditions will say he descended to hell. But when you look at the Greek transliteration, it's Sheol, so he descended to the dead. He didn't actually, I firmly believe, like, oh, that song, like, ain't no grave, gonna keep my body down. He went on down to hell, declared his victory, I think is actually terrible theology. It's not correct. Because we see that he told the thief, you'll be with me in paradise. Last time I checked, hell ain't paradise. So he descended to the dead. The third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. And then it continues to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, which is not Roman Catholic Church, but the Universal Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That's first century. Fourth century, the Nicene Creed, it goes very similar, a little bit different, but it goes like this. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, ready? Not made. Big difference. Consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was ready, crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again the third day in accordance to the scriptures. And then it continues on about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and then the church as well. And so right there, this is just a fun fact about the creeds. The creeds actually went directly against bad teachings in the church. This is what kept doctrine and theology pure. So we see right here that Jesus was begotten, not made, which nowadays goes against Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and also Jehovah Witnesses as well. But it went against people who say that Jesus was born a normal man, then as baptism, that's when he became a God. No. He has always been, always will be, Alpha the Omega, and then he was born of the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit. But either way, so right here in both of these creeds, they both say that he was either suffered under Pontius Pilate, or simply put, he was killed by Pontius Pilate. And the question is, though, is when we read in scriptures that he literally said, he took some water, Jewish custom, washed his hands and said, I am innocent of this man's blood, but the church still holds him accountable to it 2,000 years later. And the question is, why? There's a few different reasons why people have. One of them, as I've already mentioned, is the fact that crucifixion was not a Jewish way of killing people. Stoning, historically, was always the Jewish way of killing people. But rather, crucifixion is a Roman way of doing it. So even though that Pilate said, hey, I'm innocent of this man's blood, but I will still do what you do, he still sentenced him. So basically what Pilate's trying to say is, I'm going to appease what you guys want, but I ain't taking the fault line for it. It's almost like, man, how would you even describe it? I'm trying to think of like a kid relationship or a manager's position. It's almost like as a manager at Dairy Queen or McDonald's, like a fast food joint or whatever, you can tell your employees like, okay, you guys do whatever you want. You don't have to clean the lobby for the morning shift. You don't have to get this stuff ready, but it ain't gonna be my fault. It's all gonna be on you guys. And the boss will, yeah, sure, the employees are going to be in trouble as well. But who is the one ultimately responsible for it? I'm looking at comments now. Katie, hey, Katie is here. Katie, you are, girl, you crushing it in our Bible study group. Fun fact, we have a Bible study channel here inside of the Facebook community so that you guys can be a part of. I still have to do day 3, and I still have to comment about day 2, Katie, don't I? Yeah, I still have to comment about day 2. I read it, but I got to read day 3, or today day 4. I said, man, this is what happened. I was in Indianapolis all day yesterday with a kid's doctor's appointment, so I got to catch up, folks. But either way, Katie, Jordan, Jennifer, all sitting out with me, what's up, my friends? So, but going back to this conversation. So with Pilate, with the manager, so it'd be the fact of the owner of the store would look at the employees and said, you guys knew what you're supposed to do, but ultimately, who was held responsible for them? It was the person that the owner put in charge of those employees, the manager, and the manager would be screwed because he, even though he said, hey, yo, it ain't my blood, it's your blood, the owner's still going to hold the man responsible. In the same way for this, we hold Pontius Pilate responsible because ultimately he was the one who still could have said, no, let him go. And in fact, he multiple times tried to say, no, he's an innocent dude. We're going to let him go, which we'll ask the question why he just didn't let them go, because he had full power to do that and honestly could have shut the Jews up really fast if he really wanted to. But he didn't. Another question for that we'll answer here in a second. But ultimately, we know because Jesus was crucified, that is a Roman death, not a Jewish death. So if if Pilate would have, you know, said, nope, he's free, he's innocent, and then Jesus would have been stoned to death instead of crucified, then we could have said, you know, suffered under the Jews. But instead, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, and he was crucified by Pontius Pilate, because even though Pilate was trying to get out of it and not have the responsibility, he was the one who still openly sentenced Jesus to death. Because again, crucifixion is a Roman death, not a Jewish death. Another one, though, is fun fact, Pilate was actually in really crappy standing with the Romans in general. I'm doing some reading and thinking about this, and my brother-in-law, Joe, has even asked me a couple of questions about Pilate, so I'm like, oh, time to get into some reading. The person who put Pilate in authority was, I don't remember what the dude's name was, I don't have notes in front of me, but ultimately, he was in bad standings with the emperor because it was known that the person who put Pilate in charge was trying to usurp and become emperor, or maybe not emperor, but somewhere higher up. And so Pilate was already on very thin ice, where he knew if he made a bad decision, he wasn't just going to be fired, he was going to get killed. He was going to lose everything, his family was going to lose everything. So he knew that he could not screw up, because if he did, it was over for him and his family. So he had to make sure he kept the Jews at bay, because the Jewish people were very annoying to Romans because they were loud, they were big rioters, they never worshiped the Romans' God. And the Romans basically had an agreement with the Jews where it's like, we have our religion, you have your religion, kind of just let's coexist, let's keep the peace, and as long as no craziness happens, I'm cool, you're cool, we cool, it's all good. But all of a sudden, it says right here that the Jews were starting to riot. And once Jews start to riot, that's a sign that Pilate could not control the place where he was told to be governed, which means he would lose his job, potentially his life. So Pilate was more scared of losing his job and his life than doing the right thing. That's another reason why the church holds Pilate accountable, because Pilate had full power to basically tell Jesus, no, he's innocent, because he even says, you're accused of all this, but you don't do anything. So therefore, he was had the opportunity to release Jesus, but ultimately he didn't. And then when you see the placard that was nailed above Jesus' head on the cross, what was Jesus's ultimate crime? Why was he crucified? Because he didn't do anything to the Romans. He broke no Roman law. He actually did what he was supposed to do as a good Jew. He never sinned. So why does Rome have anything to care? Well, here's the deal. Crucifixion didn't just happen to anybody, all right? Crucifixion was saved to make an example to people of, hey, you're not supposed to do this. So one of those things was simply like if they were like Barabbas probably would have been crucified. Maybe, maybe not. But ultimately, enemies of the state were crucified too. So Jesus was crucified as an enemy of the state. His His reason for death was declared and was said that he was the king of the Jews. That's why the Romans killed him, because that's what he was claiming to be. Said that's what you say. That's what the Jews said. Jews, like, he's claiming to be the king over everything, which we know Jesus is king. But that was the official crime that Jesus was charged with in order for him to be crucified. And the reason why they put that on top of Jesus said it, that was very common, that they would put the reason why these people were on crosses all throughout the Roman provinces, because they would want people to see and be like, oh, that person was killed because he claimed to do this, or that person was killed because they claimed to say this or do this. I probably shouldn't do that. Romans were very good at making sure to keep their subjects in line. So he claimed to be the king of the Jews, but there's only one king, and that king is Caesar. And that was the crime that he was actually convicted of, isn't even the right word, but he was tried with, and that's the reason why Jesus was died on the cross. So when we see that it wasn't a stoning, it was a crucifixion, when we see Pilate had an opportunity to release him, but he saved his own butt rather than saving Jesus. And then the reason why he was crucified was because he was king of the Jews. Pilate could have done all of that. And so therefore, all throughout Christian antiquity, all throughout Christian history, we all say that he suffered and died because of, by, of, under Pontius Pilate. That's something we all agree upon. But then the question remains, and this is something that people have always asked, we're like, okay, so in validity and historicity and just knowing that the Bible is true, nowhere in history do we see the words Pontius Pilate or Governor Pilate or Governor Pontius in anywhere in antiquity. So we don't even know if Pilate's a real dude. And if Pilate's not a real dude, then Jesus may have been a real dude, but this is just a bunch of baloney you guys are spitting our way. Well, check this out. I'm going to pull this article up here really quick. And I actually read a couple of articles, and not from Christian resources, but from secular resources too. But check out this right here from Independent over in the UK. Until 1961, there was no concrete archaeological evidence that Pontius Pilate, the fifth governor of Judea, ever existed. There were accounts of him, of course, not at least the accounts of the Gospels, but the records of his administration have disappeared completely. No papyri, no scrolls, no rolls, no tablets, no authentic letters to Rome, nothing. Nothing was mean. Not a quote from here. The Romans' ruins that remained in Israel seemed to have nothing to do with him. Even his aqueduct, a project that got him into plenty of trouble at the time, appeared to have crumbled away. In the summer of 1961, however, Italian archaeologists found a piece of limestone 82 centimeters wide by 68 centimeters high in the ruins of a sports stadium in Caesarea beside the sea. The stadium had not been there in Pilate's time. He had yelled at his gladiators in another place, but the stone bore his name and much else besides, because it is the only artifact we have, the only proof of him, and also the only object we can be sure he looked at and thought about. Even the tiniest aspects of it has a huge importance. Until there are more discoveries, this is as close as we are going to get. And then it continues on talking more about it. So up until, Jenny's here. What's up, Jenny? Amy, I talked about you at the beginning. So what's up, Amy? Hopefully, friends, you guys are doing good. And hopefully, Jenny, let me know how the little guy's doing too. Love to keep up with you and Hunter and how you guys are doing over there. Lennox is doing really good too, by the way. But with Pontius Pilate, we always had the question of, okay, sure, we say he killed Jesus. There was under him, he suffered. Okay, we can all get behind that. But is he even a real dude? And it's kind of crazy to think that it wasn't until 60 years ago that we had no archaeological evidence that he even existed. But now we do. So all conversations and all questions of was he a real dude or not go out the window. So we know Pontius Pilate was a real dude. We know he was a real person. We know he had real connections with Rome. We know he had real connections with other things. I mean, we're talking about Caesarea here. We're not even talking about where he was at in Jerusalem. This is Caesarea. And we have Pontius Pilate information here all of a sudden. So we know Pontius Pilate is a real dude who lived in a real time, who ruled in a real place. And that place happened to be Jerusalem, where he tried over the trial of a real dude whose name is Jesus, who sent him to be suffered and to crucify him, even though he didn't have to, but yet he still chose to. So because Pontius Pilate did not do the right thing, even when it was hard, because let's be honest, I know we can think of, oh, you should do the right thing even when it's hard. Yes, but we've seen throughout all of history that people could have stepped up to do the right thing And if they would have done the right thing, it would have cost them their life or their livelihoods or whatever. But we see a lot of people, this is where pride and courage comes in of, can you stand up in the face of all of these different things? And who knows why, what the real fears were, what the real trepidations were from Pontius Pilate. But we know he was a real dude who lived in a real place, who tried over a real person's trial. And his name was Jesus. And so as we think about Holy Week, you know, tomorrow is Black Friday. I'm trying to think. I mean, this episode, I've been going for 30 minutes, so I might have to release this into the podcast world and then tomorrow do Black Friday. But as we think about Holy Week and as we think of tomorrow about Holy Week, we ultimately know that, yes, he suffered and was crucified by Pontius Pilate, but we also know because of prophecies and other it's all prophecy that we see throughout the Old Testament, that the suffering servant Jesus Christ was going to come and live a perfect life. He was going to be like a lamb to the slaughter. He wasn't going to open his mouth. We have so many different prophecies that line up the fact of, no, Jesus really is truly the Messiah. He died on a tree, which is wild to think that there wasn't even a thing back in the day. And then all of a sudden, because of Rome, he was able to do this. So it kind of goes into Jordan's question of, if Jesus was stoned instead of crucified, would we have stone necklaces instead of the cross? Which probably, but we know that he was raised up on a tree in the same way that Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up. And that's what we see in the New Testament as well. And so when we think about Holy Week, it's kind of fun to have these historical conversations, but ultimately all of these historical conversations were part of God's bigger plan to call mankind back to himself and to redeem God's design and to bring us out of the brokenness and to bring us into his family and adopt us as sons and daughters of God. So as you guys go into Holy Week, I really do pray that you find a place to go tomorrow for Good Friday. Whether you're able to find a service near you at your own church or a different church. I know some churches have later services, earlier services based on people's work schedule. I mean, shoot, people might not like this, but even if you have to go to, if you're a Protestant, even if you have to go to Good Friday Mass, so that way you can be part of the Good Friday service to keep your mind focused on what's going to happen for Easter, I challenge you to do that as well. And I pray you have a great Easter Resurrection Sunday celebrating our risen King with Jesus, because we read in 1 Peter, because of this, we have a living hope that one day, in the same way that Jesus rose again from the dead, our bodies will be raised into newness of life to live with him for forever. So I hope you guys have a great Holy Week. I hope you guys have a great time with your family. And until next time, take it easy. We love you guys. We miss you. Just hang out in the Facebook group, because you never know when we're going to go live. Take care, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed this bonus episode of RTC. Just like always, leave us a rating and review anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google's going away, by the way, and YouTube is kind of starting to take over. But when you leave us rating and reviews, it helps us get into the ears of other listeners just like you, who also has questions that they need help finding answers for. So leave us a rating and review. And when you do, send us an email at realtalkchristianpodcast@gmail.com. I've been having a lot of issues with receiving those emails on my Mac, so hopefully we're keeping up with them on the actual Gmail. But if you have any issues with us not getting your email, if you send us one, send us a DM, send us a message over in the Facebook group, and we'll be sure to make sure we get back to you on that. So again, I hope you guys have a great Holy Week. Come back next time for another episode of Real Talk Christian Podcast. So until then, guys, take it easy. We love you guys.